Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
Thursday, everybody. It is June 18th, and I am so happy to be here. My name is Mary Brotherton. My co-host is Jean Albertson, and our special guest tonight is Sharon Black, and we are all three big volunteers in our communities and with Be Unique and other places. Welcome back, Jean. I'm glad to have you. Jean? Okay, well, Sharon, welcome to the show.
Hello.
I think I lost Jean
here
for about 30 seconds.
Hi, Sharon. I am sorry, you guys. Hey, Sharon.
Hi.
So, Sharon lives in Smith Center, Kansas. That is the geographical center of the contiguous United States of America, right in the smack dab middle. Sharon.
Right.
Writes, she's written a movie. She co-wrote a movie called Home on the Range. Let's start with that. I want to know more about who was the inspiration? How did you get into that? Was that your thought or someone asked you to help them write it?
No, actually, there is a book titled Home on the Range. It's kind of like a history of Smith County. And the woman who wrote it was my mother's school teacher out in the country, up there in the area where the Higley cabin is. And she bought the book at an auction. Well, then my grandmother, my mother's mother, has a relative in the first couple chapters. So that kind of intrigued me because, you know, back then, this was like when I was in high school, back then genealogy just wasn't, you know, a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my grandmother a few questions about it and heard a lot about the author. Her name was Margaret Nelson, and mother always called her Maggie. Now, Margaret, her life is pretty interesting, but that's a whole nother story. And she had written her husband's family is the one that sort of founded Smith County, and they knew Dr. Higley that wrote the poem. It became a poem. It was a poem first that Dr. Higley wrote. And during my high school years and went off to college, I really didn't think too much more about it. I think after I came home after college, I think maybe I picked up the book again. Really didn't think too much more about it. And then one day in the year 2000, I had my first short story published in a horror magazine.
Oh, really?
So I thought, well, how am I gonna top that?
Yeah, horror.
What am
magazine?
I gonna do next? So I thought I want to do something true, historical. You know, something that I'm connected to. So I went to the cupboard and got the Home on the Range book and started reading through it and thought, wow, you know, that kind of has a storyline in there. And then I guess also what hooked me is because I had heard the song Home on the Range in the movie City Slickers. I don't know if it was one or two. I don't remember. And then I've been, you know, I hear it in other things, like I heard it in a Mickey Rooney movie, and then, you know, you hear it here and there, and you think, wow, maybe there's something more to this song than I'm realizing.
Yeah.
So I started I started to research and really didn't dig too much. It was just kind of seeing what was could develop, and I wrote a three-act play. It was just my what I had got out of the story and the research, and I, you know, wrote it. And at that time, internet had just hit my center, so I found these sites that wanted movie scripts. Well, you know, I registered the name and put a little log line there or a tagline with it, and was hoping, you know, somebody would be interested in it. But I really didn't have too much hopes, but then I thought, well, maybe. Well, I kind of put the screenplay away, and then I picked it up and put it away and picked it up. And then finally, you know, things all started to come together. The Home on the Range property was now managed by the younger generation of the people who lived on that property for years and years. And they wanted to really promote the area, fix things up, get tourism in there, and some education as to the area. And so I think just things just all of a sudden just gelled. And that's what happened.
So where this movie been seen? Justin Smith Center or other places?
Well, we premiered it. It was shown in Wichita first, because that's where the filmmaker is. That's where part of it was filmed, was in different areas like Cowtown and I think another museum down there. And then it was premiered the next day here. And then I think a week later or so, it was shown in Kansas City at Union Station. But see, when we planned this, we weren't expecting an ice storm. This was January. So the weather was perfect, and then all of a sudden, you know,
it wasn't.
Big ice storm, the whole state of Kansas, I don't know how far it went. So it got postponed to the next weekend. So it was just like, you know, here is my dream come true, and now I got to wait and got to rearrange my life for it. But it all worked out, and then we showed it. We showed it to a crowd of 10. We've showed it to a crowd of 2,000 people at Abilene.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Labor Day weekend, and, I think they were there really for Michael Martin Murphy, not us.
that's a pretty good draw too.
Yeah, he sings some of the music for the promotion of it. Yeah.
How neat. Very cool.
I remember him He's kind of a folk singer, isn't he?
Yeah, he says he's cowboy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is, a cowboy.
Yeah, he likes to sing all these old cowboy tunes. And what was interesting, he didn't even know the Home on the Range cabin existed.
Oh.
Until,
I remember as a teenager, he sang this song called Wildfire.
Right.
Wildfire.
Right.
That was
a horse,
it.
I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember him for.
Yeah, what was interesting is when I was in college at Emporia State, he played there. So a bunch of us went to see him, and, of course, the last thing he played was Wildfire.
Wow.
And I thought, well, if I would have had any inkling to the future... And then I saw him perform at a benefit for some of the other movies the film company had released. And then I think I've seen him perform Wildfire 3 times.
Wow.
I thought, man, I can't believe, you know, that I would ever, you know...
If you could have seen him in the future,
sort of work with him, I guess I should say.
Uh-huh.
What did you say, Mary?
I said, if you could have just seen into the future.
Yeah, if I could have seen into the future, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the back of my mind when I started this screenplay, you know, I thought, well, you know, I think I want Hollywood to come out here and film it because, you know, it has to be this area. I can't be,
you know,
anywhere else.
Sure.
And I thought, well, maybe there'll be maybe one well-known actor, you know, maybe not real famous, up and coming. So, you know, I guess all my dreams came true.
That's cool.
Except we didn't get rich and famous, so.
Well.
But it was a labor of love.
Well, yeah, you had lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it brought out a lot of opportunities and, you know, new friends.
Well, sure.
To my life.
Now,
so.
Is this a full feature film, or is it a shorter film?
It is 50 minutes.
Okay.
And they planned it that. Yeah, they planned it that way because when it was put on TV in Wichita, you know, the 10 minutes is commercials.
Sure.
Mhm.
I think that is very cool. Now, until I started. Until I met Jennifer, I never thought that I would do anything with a movie other than watch it, you know? So now I know several filmmakers, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
And
awesome.
In the movie, Buck Taylor has a part, you know, newly on Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
You know,
I haven't seen any Gunsmoke. Oh, I'm behind schedule. So there's a new Gunsmoke out?
There's a new one? Did you say?
Sharon, is there a new Gunsmoke?
He was in the movie.
Oh, Newly. But, he played
Newly.
Newly. Yeah, I liked him. He was the guy who took over for Festus.
Newly, O'Brien was his
O'Brien.
Okay.
Name. Yeah.
And he was in the movie.
Yeah, he played one of the characters that lived in Smith Center. that kind of had, who outlived a lot of people, and he knew the past, and so he could tell the people all about it.
Oh, that's cool.
And Rance Howard, Ron Howard's dad, played a small part in it.
Okay.
So I got to meet him. And
what fun.
Pretty exciting. And we had, the filmmaker had a meet and greet in Wichita,
mm-hmm.
where he had them all lined up to sign autographs on different scenes out of the movie. And Rance told about his life. Now, he grew up in Dexter, Kansas. I think it was really close to the Oklahoma border.
Mm-hmm.
And he told how he got into acting and how he got the acting bug, how he met his wife, and it was really interesting. And then, I think a year later, if I remember right, he then passed away. So I was really grateful I got to meet someone in his caliber.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's always neat to meet people like that that just impact you in a special way.
Mm-hmm.
Very much.
Yeah, I went to talk to him because I was actually doing the article for the Home on the Range column also, and so I had to stop him and ask him if I could put his picture in the Pioneer. And
oh, cool.
And I don't know how badly my knees were knocking, but
that's all right.
Now it's on DVD, and we sell the DVD of the movie. So,
and you sell that at the museum, don't you?
No, we don't sell any there, but it's in a different couple places in Smith Center that have copies, and I think you can order it online on the Home on the Range website.
Okay. And do you have that website for us to give to everybody?
A Home on the Range cabin. That's a Facebook page, and it'll take you to the website. It has contact information there also. There's Home on the Range. There's two different ones, but you want to get on Home on the Range cabin.
Okay. All right, Home on the Range cabin. Okay,
right.
I just signed on. I've got it right there.
Okay, good.
That's excellent. Because I'd really like to.
Michael Martin Murphy on it.
Okay, excellent.
That's
well, how
very
long did
cool.
they did? So they came to your town and filmed this.
Mm-hmm.
And how long were they there?
Oh, they were in Smith Center. Let's see. We filmed at the cabin, and then we went to downtown Smith Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were just here a day.
You can do a lot in a day, I'm finding out.
Yeah.
Cool.
So they did, they filmed Higley just sitting outside the cabin playing the violin.
Uh-huh.
And we did interviews, like I wrote in my biography, get me in front of a film crew. Never done that before. And then there's Buck Taylor standing out there. It's just like, oh my word.
Knee's still
then
knocking.
And I'm swaying back and forth like they're probably, what do they think I'm doing? put me up on this box in front of these film, all these lights. And anyway, he came over afterwards and said a few kind words to me. Buck wanted to have his interview out to the cabin. Well, the weather got kind of stormy, so he had to come to town.
Mother Nature does not always cooperate.
No. Sure doesn't.
Not on our schedule.
Yeah, so Buck was in Smith Center, Kansas, and then I think they went home the next day, and then I think the next week they filmed in Wichita. Now, my part was, you can see the picture there. There's four of us in 1930s clothes, costumes, because, we start out with the 1930s, and then in that towards the end of the movie is, you know, memories and what happened. The song Home on the Range, it was a poem first, and then it was changed to the song. The poem's name was My Western Home. Then it got rearranged and changed to Home on the Range. Well, a lot of people said the song was actually premiered, I guess you could say, in 1874. And the people who played it had this little band, and they went all over Western Kansas playing it and singing it. It got played in Hays, Kansas during the Wild Wild West days, I guess you could say. So the song went out into the world, and people just kind of took it on their own and rewrote the words. The tune was just about the same. So this couple in Arizona, they had written My Arizona Home.
So they
decided that after Bing Crosby sang it on the radio, that they should be getting their royalties from the song. So that's where they sent the New York attorney to try to find the true authorship of the song. So he was, going all over Western Kansas, went out west to Arizona, and he stopped in Dodge City, and they wrote a front page story telling everybody what he was doing. So he was getting mail sent to the Dodge City Globe for him when he returns. So people in Smith County and Osborne County heard about that, so they started sending letters, and so that's how he got the information to come to Smith Center. So I'm just a day citizen walking in front of the Smith County Pioneer.
Very cool.
Very neat.
And it was only 112 in the shade that day.
Well, I know you had mentioned one thing about the weather. You mentioned the weather, and that's one of the things I wanted to bring up for people, our listeners and folks that don't know about the kinds of tornadoes that we have on the American plains. I mean, they're not, there are tornadoes all over the world, of course, but like here in Florida where we're at, we have tornadoes, and I was even in one, but nothing like these big 2-mile-wide ones they have out there.
Oh, geez.
Sweep from horizon to horizon, on the plains.
Uh-huh.
And Kansas is certainly one we all know from the Wizard of Oz having their tornadoes.
Right.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have any big tornadoes?
No, not like a yeah, 2 mile wide one. We really, yeah, we can get threatening weather, but we really haven't had anything really scary around.
Thank goodness.
So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that. Hey, folks, definitely. I let my 15 minutes slide. I got so entranced in this story about Home on the Range. I forgot to play my commercial, so I'm going to do that. And I'm going to invite anybody who might be listening live to call if they'd like to talk with us. Our number is 516-418-5651. I think when we come back, Sharon, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about the Kansas House Library and Museum.
Okay.
All right.
There is a place between the dark and the light, between the day and the night, where things are shadowy and gray, and we walk there on a walk in shadow. Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, where the darkness dwells. On AstrodentRadio.com.
Okay, we are back. I am Mary. I'm here with Jean Albertson and Sharon Black.
Hey.
And we've been talking about Home on the Range, a movie that Sharon helped write and was deeply involved in, still is involved in. Sharon, also, now you work full time, I think, don't you, at the Kansas House, or do you work elsewhere?
No, I work at the Smith County Hospital.
Okay, but you volunteer for the Kansas House Library and Museum.
Right.
I said Smith County House. It's been a long day in the hot Florida sunshine. I was happy today. It was only 81 degrees. That was pretty nice.
That's good.
What do you do at the Kansas House Library and Museum?
Well, we were usually open on Saturdays, 10 to 3, but I don't think we're going to be open this summer due to the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So we just sit in there and wait for people to come and show them around. What we have in the Kansas House is, of course, genealogy books. Like I said, I found my ancestors in one in the Carolinas. And we have the Lebanon alumni pictures from the very first year they had pictures up until the school closed in the 1980s sometime. And the Kansas House is in the old high school. And the Lebanon mascot was the Broncos. And we have a lot of memorabilia of uniforms and albums, pictures. And then also, since Lebanon is the exact center of the United States, there's been a lot of attention paid to them. Fox and Friends came there and did their show there one day. It's probably been 20 years ago by now.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like everybody is just, intrigued with it being the center of the United States. Now, the little monument, which is north and west of the town of Lebanon, is pretty busy with tourists taking pictures and, you know, they're at the center of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always, newspapers and television coming there to to interview people. I guess I've heard that this TV show Supernatural. I don't know if you've ever watched it.
Mm-mm. No, but my son loves it.
Okay. Well, I guess there's something to do with Lebanon with that show. They're in an underground bunker in Lebanon, Kansas for some reason. I don't know. I don't have TV, so I haven't watched it.
Maybe something
You're
to do with that.
You're a smart
Bennett.
Woman.
And we had a Japanese game show come there, and we got the board in the Kansas house. I don't exactly know what they did. There's just a bunch of Japanese numbers on it. And then people have donated their uniforms and just different things from Lebanon that's in the museum. And we keep expanding. We're kind of jammed in two rooms. Now we got the lockers painted red and white, and we're going down the hallway now to the home ec room.
Mm-hmm.
And going to move some of the alumni stuff into another room someday. So we've got our work cut out for us, and it's just like a couple of us, maybe three women, out there hauling stuff out and moving that
hallways away.
painting and so I'm a kind of attached to Lebanon because, you know, that's where my dad grew up. So, I guess that's my attachment to it.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about.
Go ahead.
Well, I was good. I was just sitting here picturing in my mind the red and white lockers. Now, is that going to be? Is that a color scheme that's going through the whole building, or is it significant, or is it
no,
just you guys liked it?
Yeah, there's like one red locker, one white one, red, white, red, white. I don't know if that was the Broncos color. I guess that was the Broncos color. I'm thinking now. Because there's red and white pom-poms there. So I guess that was their color.
Sure. That would make sense. Well, I just had a picture in my mind after you described it.
And it's, you know, it's got this sweeping staircase up to the second floor, and there's skylights, and it had to be a really beautiful school at one time.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
So it was originally a school built as a school?
Yeah, the high school.
Oh, okay. Let's see here.
And, you know, the old gym, and then there's a basement. I've never been in the basement. And then upstairs is a lot of classrooms.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, when the wind blows, it kind of goes,
I didn't expect that.
That's awesome.
It's like you got a ghost in there.
Well, you know, it sounds like, I didn't realize it was a big old building like that.
Yeah. Big brick.
Cool.
And, you know, it's been remodeled, and the front was really a lot prettier, but somebody remodeled it.
Right. That's
as
awesome.
They probably do.
Well,
if they last that long.
Well, do you guys have plans of expanding museum activities or town activities or anything into more of the building?
Yeah, we really want to you know, get our remodeling done and have, you know, I'd like to have speakers and events there someday.
Sure.
And so, you know, that's kind of my dream for activities there.
Well, I'll tell you what, I plan to do some traveling over the next 50 years across the country, and so I'll keep
I'll listen
you in touch.
To you.
I'll give you a heads up when I'm coming through,
okay.
And I'd be glad to stop and talk about
okay,
stuff.
Okay, great. I have
Gene's a bit of a historian too.
Oh, good.
Oh, I love history. Yes, love it. I did. I know in school, one of the things I did was I was researching a piece of property, essentially, and everything that surrounded it. And part of doing that was researching this family. And so we were talking before the show about genealogy. I had an interest in. It was just amazing the things you can go and you can find these genealogy records and the information you can find.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It is. It is amazing.
Yeah. I know one of the projects I did in school was I worked as an assistant for a professor writing a book. And he had an idea. He said that when in frontier forts out in the frontier in America, his hypothesis was that officers were more likely to have their wives with them and be married and have them with them at the frontier locations than the enlisted people. And so he said, now, can you prove that? So I went and to all the old census I could find, Fort Smith, Arkansas, and Fort Dodge, just five or six or eight or ten of them, I don't remember, just on and on, through the genealogy records, finding these people. Then I went to the census records, and it turns out that he was right. It was like 3-1. Officers were more likely to have their wives. But I'll tell you what was interesting, though.
Yeah, true.
Settling their whole family and stuff. But I did find that nobody was looking for, but I saw clearly, it was so funny, that without a doubt, that about 2/3 of the musicians were all divorced. And so they listed their marital status in there, and I thought that was pretty wild, you know, a musician at the frontier fort. So anyway, so I'm guessing.
I wonder how many musicians they had in the frontier.
Huh? The military.
I said, I wonder how many. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I guess so.
Some of them had, I saw some of the bigger forts had, you know, 12 or 14 member bands, you know, but a lot of times it was drummers and bugleists, you know, something like that would be their job.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I just
so that's about it for the Kansas House. That's, I guess, it in a nutshell. And it's, you know, amazing what we do have. We have a stuffed dog.
Really?
There's a story about him. He was
let's hear that story.
Please.
Great Dane, I believe, and he belonged to I think the guy was a tailor, I think. I'm not positive. Anyway, he was so big, he let the little kids ride him, and he went down in the back. And so then they had to put him down, and he was stuffed and put in a clothing store, I believe. And so when all that closed up, it was donated to the Historical Society or the alumni. And so eventually we gained all the property of that.
That's interesting. Well, now, Now, it sounded when you described that you guys not being very busy right now, is it typically over the time that you've been there? Is it, do people like come from out of town, or is it more like local visitors you get?
We had, last year I had a couple ladies that were on their own little historical tour. They were stopping everywhere they could, and so they just came in, and this was one of their places. And the locals, yeah, they come once in a while, but, you know, I have to make a point of asking somebody, now, would you like to come this weekend? I'm going to be there, you know, if you're interested, you know, and that really kind of works when you personally ask them to come over.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sign in, and I usually give them a little bookmark and try to tell them as much as I can about the displays and the items that are in there.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I want an idea on something I use at a place, an old house that I work at as a volunteer. I always tell people that we'll make them homemade ice cream and they come out.
Oh.
So
I'll have to try that.
get the word out there, you know, and they might come knocking at the door.
Right.
That's a cool idea. So do you do that often, Gene?
I have done it. They did it once when I was gone, and I'm getting ready to do it again. I've offered it a lot, and they got ready, and we did it, and I had to leave. I was out of town that weekend.
Aww.
But, you know, it works. You know, ice cream is a big draw.
So do you know when you're
going
to do it again?
Sure.
We should post that on social media and let everybody know.
Yeah. Well, I always have to make sure before I do too much that I'm in a position to be able and willing to be standing there with some ice and some cream and some sugar.
Yep.
When it happens, unless I clear it with others first, you know. Well, we're going to what this weekend?
Okay, here's a spoonful of sugar, here's a cup full of cream. Drink it, run around the neighborhood, you'll get your ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna take another commercial. What do you want to talk about when we come back, Gene?
Well, I anything you want to talk about? I've been enjoying everything. I still enjoying talking about living out on the prairie and the different things, because I left South Dakota 40 years ago and I never went back. And I'm
now
you're
getting homesick.
So. Well, kind of. You know, I'm looking at these pictures on the Kansas House Library and Museum website, and I'm thinking, wow. So anyway, yeah, man, whatever you guys want to talk about, heck yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw out our phone number in case anybody's listening live on Thursday night, June 18th. Our number is 516-418-5651. We'll be right back.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
All right, we are back. We're talking with Gene Albertson and Sharon Black about the middle of the United States of America. Sharon lives in Smith Center, Kansas. And Gene used to live in South Dakota. What part of South Dakota did you live in, Gene?
Well, I lived in western South Dakota and in Rapid City. It's where I was born.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And what's interesting about it was when I was growing up, I was a little kid, and my dad took me to this place out north of Belle Fourche, about 20, 30, 40 miles, a little town way out in the middle of the prairie. And it was a pull-off in the middle of nowhere, and it was a bunch of rocks piled up in the rocks in a tall, like, small tower. And it was the new center of the United States as of 1959. And it's because what they did is when we added Alaska and Hawaii, they just stuck the center of the circle moved up there. And I just thought that was – and when you were describing the visitors that come to see the center of the United States there, I thought, wow, it really struck me how desolate and deserted this place up there is. Anyway.
And you've got to claim your spot in fame no matter what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's different for every location or every person.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sharon, I know the story, but Jean doesn't know the story. So I would like for you to tell our listeners and Jean how you came about being one of, well, all of my writers are my favorite people in the United States and the world all over. But, I mean, you really outshine yourself month after month with some great stories.
Oh, well, thank you.
I never have to tap you on the keyboard and say, hey, where's my story for this month? You always have it ahead of schedule. It's always right. You are an editor's dream. It's always within the word limits. And you do this for free. You donate this to us, and I love you for that. But
thank you.
You're very welcome. Would you tell our listeners how it is that you came to donate to Be Unique?
Okay. After the movie was over, and after all the hoopla, that finally just kind of starts to wear away, and so I decide, I gotta go on and do something different. And so they have this jobs on Facebook, and I came across that, and I read about it, read what they wanted and what it was about, and I thought, well, I'll apply to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you called me and we talked, and I guess the rest is history.
It is.
I still do write fiction once in a while. But I'm finding I like doing true stories, just because I like to research, because I just did a ton of research on Home on the Range.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's a high to get in there and just dig and find this little bit. And then you can find this little bit, and then you put two and two together and line people up and line events up, and you get this aha moment. And, it's just like, can't believe I found that. And I'm just an amateur researcher. And not that I do a lot of research for the stories, because unless I need facts or a little data to kind of go along with the story.
And you know what I love about your story, Sharon, is you tell me sometimes as soon as I saw the subject matter, I had the title. I knew, like with Dr. Mm-hmm. Furlong, you knew right off the bat, seeing is believing, before you even did anything. And the last story you wrote about Project I Am, which is in issue 16 of Be Unique, you did it like a script, like a screenplay. And I thought that was so cool. You don't follow the rules of journalism per se, because we're not, we are serious journalists at Be Unique. We report really good stuff. But I love the fact that we have so many writers from all over the world with so many different outlooks and perspectives on life. Because you turn your stories, for me, into a little adventure. I never know what and this is true of all of our writers. You know, everybody has usually four or five stories at one time going, because you'd never know if subject A is going to respond quickly or if you're going to have to keep processing them until you finally get the story or have to drop it all together. So I never know from month to month to, you know, issue to issue, who's going to send me which of the stories that I've sent out there. And it's always fun. And when I get your stories, it's like, it's like a little mini adventure. And I love it.
Yeah, it is a little adventure because, you know, I never knew what I know now about the subject. And, you know, you're just educating yourself.
Sure.
Well, you know, I want to share something with our listeners. What a small world we have and how things are circular. Sharon wrote an article. I'm almost positive you wrote Justin's Frog, For the Love of Frogs.
Right.
Didn't you? You wrote that several months ago, maybe last year sometime. And now Justin's mother is writing for us. She's writing for us as well. She was so excited about the story that Sharon had written about Justin that after it took her a while, but she contacted me. She said, "Mary, how can I write for you? You know, I want to do this too." Mm-hmm. Because she's, you know, the way Sharon had told Justin's story was typical Sharon. It was just her unique style. And it told his story in a very interesting way. And it was just, I think you started with him knocking on somebody's door, actually.
Yeah, I had read a little bit about him going door to door. And so then I started to write it that way. And then Sherry said, "Well, how did you know that?" And I said, "Well, I think I wrote back and I probably forgot I read that, and I don't know what I said, but she said, "Well, he really does do that," and I'm going, "Wow."
Yeah, I think you have a gift or a knack, if you will, for getting into the story without a lot of, you don't need to be face-to-face to talk to somebody or necessarily even on the phone. Mm-hmm. But I think you, as a writer, have a very special skill for getting into the heart of the story that other people may not pursue it that way.
Yeah, we all have our own styles.
Yes.
I've always, on these critique websites where you critique a story, you know, I would say, "Well, you write like you write. I write like how I write." And, you know, nobody's wrong and nobody's right. So it's just our individuality.
It's kind of how it makes you feel at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Justin and Sammy Vance.
Yeah.
And so I found out since I've done the new story that will be coming out, you know, they know about Justin. They know about Project I Am. They know about, they're all friends with everybody else.
All these kids, they're all like 10 years old or 11 years old, and they're just doing amazing things in the world.
That's awesome.
And they're all friends on Facebook. And
Well, you know, Justin's mom, Justin's mother started an organization or a Instagram page, I guess, called the Parallel Projects. And they get to know a lot of people that way. Or no, it was on Project Pen Pals, I think. I don't remember. There's so many stories in my head.
Well, there is the Parallel Projects in Be Unique.
Yeah. And we also, I think she did an article about the Pen Pals, too.
Oh, okay. My biggest thing is I came in here just recently, and so there's all this catching up I have to do. Going, reading all the, there's so much good stuff. It's just amazing. But
we started doing it monthly, and there was just so much, you know. But Jennifer and I are the founders, and we're the ones who are doing all the administrative work too. And like today, I spent some time applying for grants. And sometimes just finding a grant that you qualify takes a whole day. But this was before we had the current board, when it was basically just Jennifer, me, and Lynn. We said, why don't we see how we feel doing it quarterly? Well, I'm telling you, it seems like my workload tripled when we reduced the number of magazines we were doing. But that was around the time that we started doing the podcast, and we started doing different documentaries and things. And those things just take a lot more time, and the background stuff takes time.
Sure. Sure.
So, you know, I was just thinking a minute ago when you were talking, Sharon, I think one of the reasons that you write so different from most people may have, I don't know if it has anything to do with it. I just like saying her name, Eudora Welty. And you have a distant relation to her. I don't know if it's in the genetics or what, but I fell in love with A War and Path, and I fell in love with her when I read A War and Path for the first time. And that's definitely some different kind of writing right there. So there may be something to that genetics. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
So you say you're distantly related to her. How distant?
My dad, I'm going to have to walk up generations, okay? My dad, and then my granddad Black, and then there's my great-granddad Black, and I think it's in my great-granddad's generation. See, the Blacks originated in Ohio. So I have had a Black female marry a Blosser. And so I think it's the Blosser offspring that married into the Welty line. And see, the Welties left Ohio and moved to Mississippi. And so when I got my computer and I did not know a thing about my Black side other than just a chart, you know, great-grandparents. So I found some information, and there was this one gal who had, you know, from Ohio and had done all this research, and she had all the names of the relatives, and there was my granddad and great-granddad and great-great-granddad, and so I was reading down the list, just looking down the list, and it comes to Eudora Welty, and I thought, Eudora Welty. So then I went up the list And I thought, how many Eudora Welties are there in the world?
Not many.
So
not many at all.
I emailed her and I said, is that the Eudora Welty? And she said, yes. And I didn't doubt her because, you know, she'd been doing the black genealogy. But before that, several years before that, like I wrote in my biography, that I had watched one of them news talk shows. I don't even know, remember the name of it, but Eudora was on there being interviewed. So I watched it, and I never really heard of her, I don't think, very much. And I just could not get that interview out of my head. I just, for some reason, it was stuck in my head, and I thought, I wonder why I think about that so often. Well, I guess I know why now.
That's pretty wild.
So I think maybe she, I don't, third or fourth cousin, something like that, could possibly be.
Well, very cool.
I think that I just love her writing and her style. It's just so unique, and her characters just, to me, they came alive. And I hate to tell you guys this, but we're out of time.
It's been very much fun.
Oh boy.
I think so. I love talking with you, Sharon. Even this afternoon when you called and said, my phone's not working, is this the number to call? Or should I call another one? I don't know where to call you. You know, it was like 10 or 15 seconds we were on the phone, and I just felt better afterwards. You've got such a wonderful, calming energy that I really enjoy being around you, even remotely.
Oh, well, thank you.
You are very welcome. I don't know that anybody can say I have a calming personality. I'm usually like the, what do you call it, the roadrunner. I'm going. People talk about the shutdown. I've kind of appreciated it a little bit because it made me slow down.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
You are so welcome. Thank you for everything you do for Be Unique and for
you're welcome.
You know, your work at the Kansas House Library and Museum and just being you.
Excellent.
And I would like to know, though, Sharon, do you have any parting words you'd like to share with our audience? Jean and I do, and if you want us to go first, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, you go first.
I want to tell everybody first, Jean. She said me first.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You go first.
No, I have something new to say instead of what I usually tell everybody. I just want you to greet everybody with kindness and compassion and look at them with mutual respect. And I think that will make our world better.
Definitely.
Now your turn, Jean.
Well, you know, and that kind of goes along with what I'm thinking. Is my feeling is I always try to say, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. And even if it means smiling and being happy in a situation when everybody around you is just having the worst time along with you.
Oh yeah,
it's fun because you're like you can just become it all of a sudden. So that way you can have fun.
Uh-huh.
Sharon?
Right. I agree.
Well, I think you guys have already said it all, but I just want everybody to know that Kansas is not flat.
No. It's beautiful.
I like that. Kansas is not flat. And
excellent.
People think that it is, but, you know, you've got the rolling hills and a beautiful country out there.
Right.
Well, thank you both for joining us tonight. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed this because I'd be here another hour doing it. And we don't have that much time. Good night.
All right. Well, have a good evening, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.